It is Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2015, and this is episode 265 of Digital Outbox. We're back. Yes, it's been a while. A couple of things popped up and meant that we were a bit delayed, but here we are now, so all is forgiven. I'm Chris, as ever, sat here talking to you with Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
That didn't really sound inspiring. Just sat here chatting. I guess that's what we do, really. In fact, it's worse than that. We kind of just read.
Well, the best bit is that I think the most interesting chat was after we were playing Halo the other night. That was far more interesting.
Yes, if we'd recorded that, actually, it would have been quite good.
It was podcast gold.
That's where this podcast came from, those little chats.
It was, that's right.
Yep. So news then, what's been happening since we've been away? Well, the world's pretty much ended. And in fact, just to give context, Russia's just had a plane blown out the sky over Turkey. So it's all a little bit uncomfortable at the moment. Anyway, George Osborne's tagging on to all this. And now is using ISIS as a reason to pretty much develop its their own attack, online attack capabilities.
We knew our security services were doing this anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Americans have been out there doing it for years, and China's been out there doing it for years. There's no way the UK's been sitting on its hands and saying, we won't do the same.
No, what they're saying is they're going to bring it all together into one sort of recognised body that's doing this, rather than all the security forces doing their own thing, which is kind of what they admitted to. And as with all these things, we've known about these things since all the whistleblowing happened. And really, they're just tying into anything they can to say, now we're going to go and do this, even though we knew they were doing it anyway. So it's kind of just, they're just bringing things out in the open gently. And they're saying that, you know, they, as well as improved defence, which they reckon they're going to need, they're also going to adapt these attack principles as well, as attack as a form of defence. Thanks.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, we all saw what happened in Paris. Nobody wants that to happen. It's just making sure that there's no knee jerk, you know, massive change in policy or
sure,
you know, surveillance. Because now's the time to do it. You know, because everybody will probably either vote it through or be like,
of course,
yeah
that's why.
It.
Yeah, of course they. Of course they. Yes, and as they point out, it's not, you know, these are real threats as far as these kind of attacks do happen, and when they happen to things like hospitals and big machinery, as we found with Stuxnet, where they pretty much destroyed nuclear reactors remotely. But to tie it into ISIS is a little bit disingenuous, because it's actually China and big countries that actually come up with these kind of attacks. It's not necessarily small terrorist organizations.
Agreed, but at the same time, ISIS isn't a... I mean the thing... And I'm probably overreacting now. The thing that sums up for me was, like, the UN have basically declared a world war. I mean, they've basically passed a motion that says every country in the world join our fight against ISIS.
Mm.
We are at war, he says over dramatically.
Day to day. Is this war? This is war.
Now
Turkey's shot out Russia. It's all getting very, very real now. It's just...
Yeah, because Turkey, which is part of NATO, has attacked Russia.
Yeah, which is just... bit bonkers. Hmm. Anyway, Anonymous are going to protect us from IS by they're going to
well
take
done.
On. So the hacker group Anonymous have finally decided they're going to have a direction to their attacks, and that's going to be IS. And they've kind of said that they're going to uncover people and out people's payments and things like that that are going to all these organizations. It's not clear whether this is going to, you know, obviously as there is this shady organization, they're not going to be coordinated, and there are calls that maybe they're going to disrupt some communication channels which have been monitored to date. And obviously if they scare them onto the dark web or anything, it's a lot harder to track that kind of conversation. So
yes,
it's not necessarily doing all good, but nevertheless, And they've decided that's what they're going to do.
I mean, one of the things they've claimed is they've taken down 5,500 IS Twitter accounts. But IS turned around and said, yeah, it's a Twitter account. We just open another one. You know, it's no, that is no big deal. And like you say, there's a kind of part of you that says, this is good. You're finally channeling, you know, the skills that you clearly have to do something good rather than, you know, bring
down Xbox
Live.
I don't think I said it was good. I don't agree in vigilantism.
No, what I'm saying is, but there's a bit of me. I think it was more, what I was saying is, there's a bit of me that says, finally, they're doing something that is like, you know, taking, I was going to say like teen angst, but taking obvious.
It's not just shoving a ton load of email addresses into the open market.
No, know? And it seems to be doing the right thing, but I agree with you. I think there's a lot of these Twitter accounts are being monitored. The intelligence agencies do get information from them, you know, and forcing people to go underground. There was always that argument as well about, you know, that you know, police could take down, you know, local drug barons, but if they know about them and monitor them, they're making choices about, yeah, it's, we know about it and we can do something, rather than it's all underground and we know nothing now.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, it's beyond our sphere of knowing really what's right and wrong, but, that's what they decide. That's all, you know, it's that's it. You can just report what they've said. Telegram, that's a service... I never heard of it. Is it a kind of messaging service?
Yes. Telegram got a lot of good press when, I can't remember which one, I don't know if it was when WhatsApp was bought by Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I think lots of people said, oh, I don't like Facebook, I need to find something else. And they all jumped on Telegram.
Okay.
So it gets a lot of good press, and they've, because again, it is secure. So that their claim is that nobody can hack, you know, so if you talk on it, nobody can see your conversations. But they've shut down 78 public channels on its network that were getting used to spread terror-related content.
And I think that's what comes out of all this is, you know, these channels are being used, and all these communication channels are being used, so Twitter and Facebook, to get out the message, and shutting them down hopefully shuts down that message. You know, so again, it seems a bit hopeful to me. Yeah. Tim Cook has been out saying... the PC is dead.
Really?
Long live the tablet. So,
no,
you know...
No, surprisingly, no, hold on a minute. did Apple not just release a new product?
Yeah, it's surprisingly alongside the release of the iPad Pro, their biggest iPad yet, and the one that's kind of... It's got the keyboard, and it's kind of designed more as an input device if you want it to be. Very, very premature. I think, you know... Steve Jobs, he said this at the release of the iPad, didn't he? It was going to be the end of the PC. But, we don't need to reiterate the arguments. Productivity is not the same. It's a very different thing.
Depends what you do. Sure. So he's quote, iPad Pro is a replacement for a notebook or a desktop for many, many people. And that is true. And they will start using it and conclude they no longer need to use anything else other than their phones. And I agree. True. So if I look at my mum right now, I put in front of a Mac or a PC, because I'm sure there's been lots of debates that he was saying PC meant Windows and not an actual, but I think he just meant any computer that has a keyboard,
desktop,
rather than a laptop. But if I gave my mum one of those devices, she wouldn't know what to do, you know.
Yeah,
but for me,
I still see my parents, and they still very much use a laptop, and you know, they don't have an iPad or anything like that.
The iPad Pro is not for me. I mean, I think it's a really good product.
I want one. If money was no object,
I don't. I want the Pencil. I'd love the Pencil to work with the current iPad. So the Pencil, from all the stellar reviews that I'm seeing of it, and people that I kind of trust what they say, and even though I can't sketch, I like the whole idea of it's a proper, I can handwrite, and it's a small enough font that it's all readable and legible and searchable, and I want all that. But I don't want that size iPad.
I don't mind the idea of the size. In fact, I quite like that. But yeah, generally speaking, they probably got it right, the size they chose to start with. Really.
And they've also kind of screwed the pooch, and the Pencil is just impossible to buy.
Yes, so there's like a 3-month waiting list or something stupid like that now, isn't
it? Well, I've ordered one. Yeah. Not for me. So it's Shaq's picking up an iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll have it by Christmas, and if Apple follow through in their order, I'll have bought my Pencil for Christmas. So
hope he doesn't listen.
But he knows.
Anyway, that's been released. He said that. No one thinks he's saying anything other than trying to pump his thing, because everyone also knows that, say, if it's straight up maybe a bit of typing, fine. But if as soon as you get into things like video editing or... I guess even that, they're right. For most day-to-day productivity, you've got an alternative, but it doesn't always mean it's the best alternative.
And it's just back to the... So if you just shot a little video of, you know, something in the back garden or something in the house, and yes, you could do a little bit of beef video editing and publish it. That's all really doable. Maybe even be easier. But if you wanted to do, you know, in the Final Cut Pro type editing, multiple tracks, bringing in lots of media, bringing in 4K content, you know, the size of it, all that kind of stuff, no.
All right.
No.
Agreed. Google Maps, they have introduced the offline navigation and search, so it will seamlessly transition when it loses connection, basically by downloading areas onto your devices, which it kind of worked okay. Once you've done a search previously, it kind of did do that. So if you went into a tunnel or whatever, it would still keep that map, but it would... this is kind of more extensive than that, so you can still even reroute yourself, I think, because it's got actually a local area of, you know, that's been downloaded as an area rather than just the actual route you're on. So yeah, good, I guess, especially for areas where they've got bad connections.
Absolutely. I mean, anything like this is a good thing, especially as it's become, you just tend to rely on it.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
I just get very used to it being there, and I have to say, Google Maps on my iPhone, on my Android is still a really compelling thing. It's still very, very good at what it does, and having this sort of seamless transition to offline, online in bad connection areas is great.
For me, I always use Google Maps. So Apple Maps was too poor a choice at the start, and to me, it's never caught up.
Yeah,
and I trust Google. I don't trust Apple. And when it comes to maps.
And the Google app did actually get updated to be sort of comparable in the end. So that would, because there was a period where it wasn't comparable to the Android app, but I think it is now.
Yes.
As someone said, this is going to become important. This online offline thing for their kind of self-driving cars and things like that. So it's all kind of setting up for that world that we're soon to be heading into. Google Plus refuses to disappear. So if you go to plus.google.com now, you have the option to go and see the new dashboard, because they have reskinned it effectively and refocused it towards groups and aggregated content. I had a quick play with it. It looked all right, actually. So you can pick topics and it will pull in aggregated content. I think that these things were already there anyway, so you still could pick topics before, but it's now put that front and center. So it's no longer about your feed or your friend's feed, really. It's about these topic areas that you might have an interest in, a bit more like a news feed, really. But you can pick, you know, there's all sorts of people who are compiling that content all in one place. So there you go. That's what Google Plus, the direction they've taken with it. You can go back to the original feed if you want, so you can switch between the two. I guess at some point they will just get rid of the old feed and it would just be this new group focus.
I thought you were going to say at some point you just switch it off and realise nobody uses it.
We don't use it in the ways that we think we use it, but because we use all the other Google services, we are using it without knowing it.
No, I know. But to me, they've made it a little bit of Pinterest.
Yeah, exactly. What they've
done. But what are you going to use Pinterest? I'll use Pinterest.
But now you can use Google Plus as well.
No.
YouTube's been announcing all their stuff. So they've announced YouTube Kids, is it? I can't remember how they've termed
it. It's YouTube
this.
Kids app, yep. Which has been out in America, but is now finally out in the UK. And I guess it's interesting that you've got a YouTube app, but you've now also got like YouTube Kids. You get YouTube Gaming. You get YouTube Red.
YouTube Kids is going to be important, especially if you think of all the devices that are out there and you don't want people having access. I mean, YouTube spans all sorts of video content, right? It's from G rated all the way, you know, through to pretty stuff that you don't really want kids watching. So this is a good step. It's kind of as it says in the article that we've sort of taken this news story from The Guardian, you know, this is just YouTube kind of catching up with the way their service is used, and it is used, you know, three key verticals, as they call it. So children's stuff, gaming stuff, music. So they're just making these things available as verticals.
Absolutely. And I mean, there was an article at the weekend I was reading, it just how little actual dedicated kids TV now is on our main channels. You know, it's just all gone. You think back to when we were kids,
yes.
It was like, you know, BBC One Night TV was all kids TV, and it's now nothing.
Certainly at key times of the day, yeah, absolutely. But then now obviously they've got entirely dedicated kids channels.
Yeah, but even that is now down to CBeebies and stuff, and even that's starting to get smaller and smaller.
CBeebies, Nickelodeon, all those kind of...
talk of that going online, so...
Okay. And online seems like the perfect thing, because you're not just, say, stuck to these times where these appear.
And what better? I can fire up YouTube Kids and watch Little Baby Bums.
And just say, as parents, though, you I'm sure that do you get that, you know, safety feeling that, you know, you're in this bubble?
Definitely. And I know people that have tweeted, you know, over the years just saying how their kids have got used to firing up on the iPad. They know which icons to go to, to go and launch their favorite. Yeah, you know, I want to watch Frozen, so I need to go to this one, and I go here and I do that.
I was always amazed by how, you know, my niece is just totally doing things that you are just amazing. I mentioned YouTube Music, so now that's over here as well. That did launch over in the US, but we've got that now.
Oh, have we?
Have we?
I don't have.
If we haven't, it'll be soon.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay, it's basically their...
We have.
it's their music service again, so they're just rolling it into... you know, so many people use YouTube now as their main music player, even. So this is offering, you know, dedicated services for music in the video environment.
And it's a bit like we've talked, remember we talked about that YouTube Red, and there was the
which is the
Play
subscription.
Service, right? Yeah. And if you got YouTube Red, you also got the Play Music subscription. This is the same, that if you've got YouTube Red, then in YouTube Music, there's no ads and it's all free. Yeah. And it's all, you can just, you know, watch it and use it as a music channel. And if you, but the app is free itself. You don't subscribe, you just get ads before you play tracks. Yeah.
Yep. Pandora buying Ardio. $75 million in cash.
Yeah, so Ardio's gone. Yeah, Ardio wasn't a big name, but it was well known.
Yeah. It's and especially known in Europe. I don't know if it's France or Germany, one of those two really used to use that service a lot. So people were talking about, is this Pandora moving into the European market? Or if, you know, but basically RDO is being shuttered, so that it'll be shut down and basically that's gonna be the end of that service.
Yeah, so Pandora is more, I think, like a radio.
That was always their original core, but it was also US. They blocked everyone outside of the US from accessing it.
That's right.
Quite aggressively.
Oh, you're right, because I remember I had ways of getting there, but it was continually getting blocked. And it was like, well, you just made it impossible. I'm just going to give up.
And then Spotify came along. So actually we had something that was better than Pandora. So Pandora always worked on that principle. You typed in an artist that you liked.
That's right. Yeah.
And then it came up with a couple of their songs, and then it gave you spanned out into, they called it music genealogy. So they said it would be music that was similar. It's been a cool guy. I used to love Pandora until they, exactly the same as you, just blocked it. So I moved on. But there you go. So that's happened. Apple Music's come to Android. So the app has come, and it will again have the free trial period. So if you want to dip in and try their playlists and the Beats One Radio, then you can.
And unlike, I guess, many people thought they would try and take the, you know how Google tries to take the kind of Android principles and applies the material design to iOS apps, they thought Apple would do the same, but they've actually pretty much followed the kind of Android design philosophy. So you've got hamburgers and all that kind of nonsense there, and it's quite amusing. You go to the Play Store and it's get like one star, basically, with people saying, "Do one, we don't want this service."
That's just people back being
it's just people.
Basically. But I've not tried the service to know whether it's actually any good. I never even signed up to the free service.
It's still got real issues.
Some people swear by the curation. I know you're saying that you the human curated content people are swearing by. So.
There's some of the playlists and stuff are great, but I've not checked for a wee while, so I will hold on, this will be a live test to see if I've got any Rolling Stones.
What was the band?
Rolling Stones. So let me go to my For You. Foo Fighters, U2, oh, close, Massive Attack. Oh no, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
this sounds good.
Maybe I'm clear.
Sounds like a good playlist.
Trip Hops, Radiohead, 90s B-sides. Hey, maybe I finally got, basically they've showed me every every Rolling Stone playlist that there could be.
I'd say it's more likely that they listened to Digital Outbox and heard your grievance. Yeah.
I've got some Doors in there. Oh no! Intro to the Rolling Stones!
You had to get quite a long way down, and by that stage you'd have probably had quite a nice playlist anyway, so it's fine.
I don't like this suggestion.
Apple boobied. Basically, they let a security certificate expire on their App Store, which then meant that certain use cases, when they clicked on their apps on their Mac or whatever, on their devices, they were getting told that they couldn't run them, which is quite a significant issue.
You were getting told you couldn't run them, or it was damaged and you had to go and download. You know, it's dead simple to fix, just delete the app and download it again.
But app stores are quite big. You know, some apps are several gig big, right?
Yeah, and also you lose your settings. And yeah. So if you deleted your app, it wiped all your settings, and you download the app again, it'd be like, oh, bugger.
Right, back to normal, yeah. Back to default.
You know, that's a bit painful. And also, some of the fixes involved, some people, it was just a shutdown of the app store and re-sign in. Other people had to reboot.
Yeah.
And it took them a few days to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know, it was a minor irritation to people. It's like, I think anybody launching an app on that kind of 20, 40, 48-hour period was affected. I mean, there were some people putting up 6 or 7 apps all damaged and broken.
Yeah.
And some quite important ones like 1Password.
Yes.
You know, if that breaks and you needed the password, you'd be like, oh, crap.
Yeah. So anyway, they've extended their their license to 2035. So I think we're pretty safe for a while now.
Yeah.
The App Store's getting a smarter smirch engine.
Smirch.
A smarter search engine, easy for me to say. It happened to come up at the beginning of November, this. But basically, more relevant and results coming back.
Finally.
Yeah.
Go on. Well, previously you would do a thing for so you'd search for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'd get, you wouldn't get the Twitter official client, you wouldn't get Tweetbot or any others, you'd get... you know, like Facebook, because they've got Twitter in their search terms or something, you get something totally random, you get a whole lot of other spammy apps, and now it's actually working well. If you search for Twitter, you'd get the Twitter apps, and I think you might get something like, what's the thing, Periscope, because it's owned by Twitter,
mm-hmm.
but then you're getting Tweetbot, which is kind of, and then you're getting Twitterific, so you're getting the apps that are well known for working.
And this is probably doesn't, I mean... all these decisions have knock on. So the problem is, if you get these spammy apps who are literally just going by a search term and to try and dupe you into spending money with them, now I bet the alternative, you know, we've now got the major apps who sell well already always getting promoted at the top of lists. So you never get if you're a small guy, you never get that chance. So I'm sure it's had a knock on effect like that, but there's always the fallout, and it's always the small guys that are trying to do things properly that seem to suffer from the people trying to scam.
I think in the past it wasn't so much the small guys, but it was just the ones that were well known for their apps were fine, and they were always well down the list, no matter what they did. So unless you search for Tweetbot, you wouldn't get Tweetbot.
Mm. So actually you think this is actually going to help now?
Yeah.
I wonder how they're doing it.
It's about time, and I've noticed that actually now that I'm using an Android device again for work, the Play Store isn't much better.
No.
No, considering Google Strength Search, the play.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's again, it comes back with a load of spam, and again, things that you can, as a bit more of an educated user, you can tell these are spam apps and trying to dupe you or whatever.
But it takes, you know, if you just search for, I don't know, a common term, it's like, none of these. It's well down. You're like, oh, okay, it's that one.
Yep. More security certificate woes from Dell this time, who turns out they've been shipping their products with a self-signed certificate across a lot of their computers. It was to help them with their support staff being able to get IDs on the callers coming in and what the device was they were using. But unfortunately, it can be exploited to carry out man-in-the-middle attacks. And now that it's in the open, Dell are releasing instructions on how you can properly get rid of that certificate. Once it's properly been removed, you're no longer exposed, but it just was launched with a lot of Dells came with that on it. So they're having to recover from that situation.
Yes, very similar to Lenovo, who had something earlier this year like it, but Lenovo didn't handle it well. Dell have come out very quickly and said, here's the fix to do it manually, here's how we're going to clean it up automatically, and here's why we had this. It wasn't to... Because Lenovo's was advert.
That's right. Lenovo's was spamware that they installed, pre-installed, including a self-signed certificate. And that spamware was doing stuff which actually was pretty nasty. It was putting their own adverts, injecting it all over the place where it wasn't wanted. Amazon Pantry has arrived in the UK. So this is the service where you can actually effectively do online shopping for food and goods. And they're doing... basically a flat fee, a delivery fee on a 20 kilogram box, so you can put as much as you like into that box, up to 20 kilograms. There you go. Sounds... I've not really looked into it as to what they've got. I'm assuming it's kind of these things that they consider people need, like toilet paper and stuff.
It's all that kind of stuff. So stuff that's and things like crisps, stuff, things that are not immediately perishable. And as you describe it, you've got a shopping list in front of you, and as you pick it, it tells you how much of the box it fills up. So you filled up 0.1 of a box, or 0.3 of a box, or 0.02 of a box. And
It's kind of, supermarkets are under pressure at the moment, aren't they? They're from all angles.
From all over. There's no easy ride now.
No, I mean, it has to be said that I think we did jump on board the sort of delivery services from the big players. So it might be that this doesn't impact as much as it will in other countries where they don't do that service so readily. Because I think it is a very well subscribed thing to all the sort of supermarket delivery services.
Yeah, we have a couple of our neighbours that certainly there's one every Sunday gets an Asda delivery.
Yeah.
So it's common.
Yeah, Prime's come down in price as well. Sort of a similar, I guess it's in time for Black Friday and all those kind of things, but basically it's £20 off at the moment. So you can get it for £60. I mentioned to you, I think offline, I signed up in the end. I was kind of waiting for the next £20 off type promotion, and there it is.
And just in case a listener thinks, oh, I'll go and run and do that, the offer's ended.
Yeah, so you had to get in there quick. But rest assured, it will be back at some point soon. It seems to come around every quarter, basically. It seems to be that kind of schedule. But just ahead of Christmas is a good one, really.
And we talked the other night about they do have a couple of really cracking exclusive shows on at the moment.
But yeah, because obviously Prime doesn't just come with the free delivery, it comes with the music. Although the music service doesn't work on my Chrome for some reason. I can't get it to play songs in the browser. Anyway, then it comes with music, movies, and a number of other sort of subsidiary services.
Yeah, if you've got a Kindle, you've got a Kindle lending library, you need the actual Kindle device. It's not just Kindle software on a platform. So one little breaking story that's happening just now is you might want to change your Amazon password.
Oh, good.
So seemingly they've started emailing customers that their account may have been compromised, and they're advising people to change passwords. They've not put anything out to the media yet, so nobody knows if they've got everybody affected, whether it's everybody affected. But there you go. Okay. Something to bear in mind if you've got an Amazon account.
Breaking news.
You might want to think about changing that password.
Well, I'm using 1Pass at the moment, so hopefully that will make this transition seamless and gentle. Launchpad's also been launched by Amazon. This is their startup promoter. Basically, so they're kind of categorizing some products as being startup products. These are things that may have come from Kickstarter, may have come from, what's that other one I'm thinking of? Indiegogo. And they're going to put them into a particular category so you can quickly find them and go and buy stuff on that basis. Again, that kind of just hooks into that excitement that Kickstarter and Indiegogo kind of generate. And I still look at those sites and I still get quite inspired by them. But it seems to be that this is, I don't know if it's not at the Kickstarter level, isn't it? This is when they actually get released as a product.
So they definitely have quite a lot of those kind of products, but then they had like BB-8 from Sphero on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wouldn't have classed that as a...
No, it's almost like they're just trying to promote that, aren't they? So
yeah. That's what it felt like. It felt like here's the kind of toy that you really want.
And then the stupid one, like there was a comb in there. You think there's a company trying to spin the development of a comb.
Revolutionary comb.
Yeah, shut it. EE are going to try and convince you to not install ad blockers, basically by giving you more control over what ads you actually want to see, and basically they're taking that different angle. They want to. They think by maybe allowing that control, you will stay away from actually installing blockers. They might have a point, you know, if you're seeing ads that you want to see rather than irrelevant ones.
They may have a point, and they might be wanting to create a whitelist and monetize it.
Yeah.
So,
of course they will.
So
yeah, of course they will.
So thanks, EE.
I think we talked before about the fact that complete ad blockers are not necessarily the solution to certainly the small guys miss out. So.
I'm a small guy. I'm not missing out.
Fair enough. WordPress. They've upgraded WordPress.com, so they've given it a new look and feel. This is their kind of, you can blog on their platform basically rather than self-host. And they've also released a Mac app that will allow you to type your blog articles in an app environment rather than in the back end of WordPress. It will also let you do that on your own self-hosted site as long as you install Jetpack and a couple of their services as well. I don't have that service installed on any of my self-hosted, so I can't tell you how well that works, but certainly interesting that they've gone down that route.
Speed-wise, it's massively, massively different. Mm-hmm. So our blog is a self-hosted WordPress, yep. As is my blog. So Digital Outbox and Yindi.net are both WordPress. And they can be quite sluggish, even though you try and speed things up and cache things. And you know, the back end's never been... They've went through lots of rewrites and they have made it better. But it's you know, I think they had to do something in the face of things like Medium, which is... You know, and Medium's attracted a lot of attention because they've made it dead easy to write, mm-hmm. but then the content's not yours anymore. It's sitting on their site. And there's always been that argument of, do you want to own your content no matter how good or bad it is, or do you want to put it somewhere else? So I think this is WordPress trying to say, look, we do have 25% of the web right now. You know, it's amazing. And this is all using things like, you know, the latest JavaScript engines and all the different technologies.
WordPress has been moving towards that API model now for a while. They've got WP CLI, which is their underlying API model, and it pretty much does everything that you can do in WordPress now. And I guess that's what the app is hooking into, that kind of aspect of things.
The app is like running the website, but local. But even just being able to jump to your stats and your posts, and it's really
instantaneous, so you get all the benefits of a thing. I'm sure we'll see in the next few iterations of the web app a speed improvement as they go down those kind of desktopy type, like local storage and local database access and stuff like that. We will see WordPress speed up, but it's quite exciting where WordPress goes. Tag Heuer is is making a smartwatch.
Yeah.
Compelling in that it's a Tag Heuer for about $1,000, which compared to normal Tag Heuers, that's probably about one of their cheaper ones. But it's basically a smartwatch with Tag branding.
Yeah. You know, so it looked like a slightly bigger, you know, Motorola, you know, round watch. I guess the interesting thing is you're getting the three kind of Tag faces that are kind of common, so you can swap between them. It didn't have any of the kind of analytical, you know, the health type things on it. And its price, you're right, you're getting a Tag for £1,100.
This is one of the things, you're not really getting a Tag for £1,100. No. You're getting a smartwatch that costs £1,100, which is awfully expensive for a smartwatch. But nevertheless, their brand is strong enough that it will be able to, you know, it'll take it.
And some interesting things like after 2 years, you can kind of trade it in and get half price on a proper Tag.
Right, okay.
So it's almost like they're using it as a... So this has been done with Intel and Google. So it's not just them on their own. And the reviews were basically saying it's actually a really good device considering the length of time they've had to develop it, mm-hmm. you know, as an answer to, you know, Google and Apple and all these other pebbles and stuff. But it still feels like it's almost like we'll work with these guys, but at the same time we're going to say, this is basically us saying, you're in the tag world now, seeing that you've had this for a couple of years, stop playing with the toys and come and get a real one.
this is the kid end of the market. Yeah.
That's what it felt like from their point of view. The fact that they've got a deal that says after 2 years, come and get a proper watch.
I'm you know, it is one way though, because in 2 years' time they may have a smartwatch which actually is very compelling to have as a Tag Heuer watch. But like I say, there's still that status symbol with watches, and this is a way of them hooking into that market, keeping you in the Tag Heuer brand, because that's one thing people, you know, like their watch, and they don't necessarily want to swap that for a smartwatch at this point. Having a status symbol as an option, maybe that'll.
And that's what I mean. Some people have said to me about the Apple Watch, you know, it's like, oh, it's not really an elegant watch.
No.
So.
No. Sky Q. So Sky Q, this is the new Sky offering. So they've just sort of announced it. It's not out and available yet. But it's going to be complete revamp of their box, their kind of streaming services, and also that's going to be their first 4K offering in the new year at some point. This will be a 2 terabyte box. From what I understood from it, it's going to seamlessly transition from the kind of, you know, where the shows are. So it's not going to be working with your planner and then working with your downloads and working with this, that, and the other. It's going to be effectively that whole kind of integrated. You search for a show and it will come up with all the locations you can get it from, and it will seamlessly play them and allow you to play them. Coming with ability to download your recorded shows onto your iPads and things like that, or your mobile devices. Good news. And also they're going to have little streaming boxes for the kind of multi-room thing where you can stream live TV, or you can stream your recorded shows as well. For recording streams plus one live stream, you can still be watching while recording 4 shows, which is, wow, okay. And a number of other things.
Which I must admit, when I kind of chuckle, because I actually have to juggle quite a bit now.
I know, it's getting there.
Because, yeah. You know, there's just so many channels that still want you to hit that 9 o'clock slot, yeah, on a, you know, a Thursday night or a Tuesday night or whatever night.
It's not very often it happens, but if you've got so for me, it's like if there's a sporting event that I want to record and it happens to be at the kind of similar prime time, then there might be 2 other shows that are being recorded. Yeah.
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 And I guess a couple of notable things for Sky, you know, the remote that hasn't changed in
donkeys, forever.
Yeah. You know, is now very different. Has got voice support as well, like most of the other remotes seem to be going down. Has a touch component, which again we'll just need to wait and see, because I've tried touch before and this is going back years, and there is something to be said for feeling a tactile button and not having to look at a remote. So
yeah,
just,
so from the look of the actual controller, it looked like it had a kind of like where the play button was, there was it was like an arc where you moved, so it's almost like getting rid of that, you know, the, you know, you had to put people on speed limits on the fast forward button on skyboxes because they were out of control when they got to 30. This looks like you can actually, you'll be able to just move your finger to the kind of speed that you want to be fast forwarding, and then once you let go it'll immediately stop.
Interestingly, that's how Apple TV works, and I find very intuitive.
Yeah, I bet.
See, just for that, just being able to go zoop and zip through
on
something.
If this was video editing, that's your scrub button, right? It's just scrubbing through, yeah. And I say this, I feel quite compelled towards this, but we know that it's going to be coming with big bills.
And that's the thing, so there's no price and there's no launch date apart from next year. And I'm sure this is all about, you know, getting people, you know, worked up towards it. So you think it's kind of compelling, as you said, and then you realise it's an extra, I don't know,
a gazillion pounds a year. Yeah.
Well, I spoke to them. I mean, I'm sure I'm paying 80 something a month because it's the full whack I've got plus multi-room. And I think this is going to add another 20 quid.
And I remember when I signed up to Sky, and I'm pretty sure my first bills were like 15 quid a month. And that just over the years, it just, HD got added. Then so that's another tenner automatically.
Oh, Sky. So Sky Plus got added. So Sky Plus was the recording.
So I was after that. So that was always there anyway. But and now I'm pretty sure I'm probably up to the 40 to 50, you know, area.
I still think it's scummy that the HD part gets a subsidy.
Yeah, I think this when we move to 4K, we might see the HD is actually built into these things, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, ITV is no longer got ITV Player. It's got ITV Hub, is it? Or ITV, what's the name?
ITV Hub.
Yeah. So basically, it's a rebrand, but it's I don't know what they're gaining from it. Any ideas?
It's trying to merge a lot of its streaming and kind of catch-up services into one place. So I think they had multiple offerings in the past. You know, you could go to their website and it was in different areas. You could have a different app. So it was to try and bring it all together and say, see if you want our digital content.
Here's where you go, yeah. And they're adding subscription service and stuff like that in there as well.
Yeah, so if you want to stream or you want to watch live or you want to watch, you know, older content, you know, a bit like what iPlayer's doing with their box set stuff, then do it all from here.
Yeah, but they really didn't seem a need to rename it. I guess, there you go, they wanted to, didn't they? I guess it's a way of saying, this is new, even if it's similar. Sony. So finally given up on Betamax. They're going to stop producing Betamax cassettes in March 2016. Made me chuckle reading this story.
Who knew?
Yeah, who did knew? Who was using them? Who was buying them?
I mean, at first I thought this was a spoof. Yeah. I thought somebody that actually I accidentally released this from an April 1st or something, but it's true.
What a long-standing thing that's been, considering how unpicked up it was. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I guess those people that bought Betamax, they didn't want to feel burnt. They wanted to. They wanted to make the most of their device.
But yeah, it remained popular in Japan, and it's still possible to buy it on Sony's Japanese site.
PlayStation 2 games coming to PS4, so they're going to actually build in an emulator and allow you to download or install your 16-year-old games. Is this necessary? Is it just because they're trying to get onto the bandwagon of Xbox are doing their backwards compatibility now, because PlayStation Now is the way that they've got around PS3 titles, right? Effectively by not running them on the local machine and streaming them. That is how Now works, right? They stream content.
I'm kind of surprised because Microsoft did their kind of emulator this year, Sony were like, wow, didn't think they would do that. That's
it's kind of caught them offside.
Technically quite impressive. And they're now, so seemingly if you pick up Battlefront, it's a new Battlefront Star Wars bundle with a new PS4. You also get these four games from PS2 days. And it was when Eurogamer were firing it up, it was actually, hold on, it's giving me the old, you know, launching a PS2, you know,
it's properly logo emulated, yeah.
In higher res. And they were like, this is an emulator. This isn't just they've not sat and recoded the game. They've actually emulated it and given you the original package. And that's when Sony are now confirming there's another 12 coming their way.
But for me,
no.
Any time I try and go back to an old game, they're just rubbish because things move on so quick and then you get so used to all these additional whiz bangs and features that the going back to old games, very, very rarely is it exciting.
The thing that gets me is the speed. It's how fast games are now. And you load up an older game, you realise, bloody hell, the pace wasn't there.
There was no pace. It was the graphics
wasn't no
just...
pace, just certain games just didn't...
Okay.
In your head, you think it's the same.
Yeah, when you go back to Project Dark or when you went back to the old Halo, whatever, it's just, the speed of these things was...
Oh, the old Halo, the original Halo was...
It felt like you're walking through treacle, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all these games at the time, but you know, I move on and I don't really.
I still can't help it. I know I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, but all I do is I think of Halo and split screen and turn and aim, and there's Orange Diet Brew Boy in my sights.
Yeah, so
he'd be screen watching, so he'd run just as I was about to fire.
You know, it's the first kind of network game sessions where we all brought our Xboxes around. It's awesome. I mean, we did. I did some PC stuff, but there was always IRQ issues. And that shows how long ago it was, because I bet most people don't even know what an IRQ is anymore.
The thing that got me with PC gaming was all the cheating bards that were, you know, either.
I never played that seriously, but.
Aimbots and see-through walls, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's like, there's no way.
But it was fun wiring up our uni house and having a few. It was a bit of Quake.
Descent. That's the one.
When Half-Life 2 came out, it was awesome.
Yeah, so my mates from uni, we drilled through a big tenement wall in Glasgow. So this built through this wall, network cable through. Still remember playing my mate Richard on Descent, and he was following me down these tunnels. I ducked off, went through a door, ducked off to the left. He was following me down. I pulled out behind him, fired a missile, blew him up, and all you heard him shouting was, Descent!
There you go. That was also known as the Top Gun maneuver.
Not quite, but it was, I'm telling you, still makes me feel good to this day. How shallow I am.
And something else to make you feel good, you can now go and print out your Halo 5 Spartan in 3D.
Now, I've added this in just for you, because 2 weeks ago we sat playing Halo and you're like, these buggers with their spikes on their heads. And as soon as you realised you could get yellow visors and yellow armour.
I knew it would all happen, but I've still not got a spike on my helmet looking like a complete dick.
I know when you unlock one, you're going to stick it on.
I'm going to stick the spike on. Anyway, you can now go and order one.
I might order them. Once I'm happy with how I look, I might order one.
There you go. I bet you're going to be holding a sword.
Funnily enough, when I went through the things and you could pick different things, I was like, oh, there's a sword.
Yeah.
Even though I can't use it. I think I should really be shotgun and I'm elite of the face.
Just someone punching you in the face. Running out front. That's the end of the podcast. We're going to do one more before the end of the year, subject to any stories releasing, but it'll probably be at least a couple of weeks away, I'd say, something along those lines. That's going to be just before Christmas, and then we'll work out a schedule, but it's like to be CES by the time we come back. So there you go. That's just to let you know kind of schedules. But if you want to find out anything else about us and what we're doing, if anything does pop up, then we'll put it on the website, digitaloutbox.com. Email at digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us. Twitter, Digital Outbox as well. We know that you'll miss us. I'm on academyracer.co.uk for blogging, and it's cheesyuk for my Twitter feed. Ian.
For my Twitter feed, it's Sweeper. And for my blog, it's iand.net. And I have breaking news, more breaking news. Oh. BBC Radio 4. British accents are losing their identity, except in Glasgow.
There you go. What?
What?
What? I wish that hadn't happened. I'm going now. See ya.
Bye.
Shut your face.